ஓம் ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நமஹ. ஹரிஹி ஓம். பத்ரம் கர்ணே பிஷ்ருணுயாம தேவாஹ, பத்ரம் பஷ்யே மாக்ஷபிர்யஜத்ராஹ, ஸ்திரைரங்கை ஈஸ்துஷ்டு வாகும் சஸ்தனூபிஹி வ்யஷேம தேவஹிதம் யதாயுஹ. ஸ்வஸ்தி ந இந்திரோ விருத்தஶ்ரவாஹ, ஸ்வஸ்தி ந பூஷா விஶ்வவேதாஹ, ஸ்வஸ்தி நஸ்தார்க்ஷ்யோ அரிஷ்டநேமிஹி, ஸ்வஸ்தி நோ ப்ருஹஸ்பதிர் ததாது. ஓம் சாந்தே சாந்தே சாந்திஹி. ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நம. ஹரிஹி ஓம். ஸோ வி ஆர் சீயிங் தி தேர்ட் சாப்டர் ஆஃப் மாண்டூக்கிய காரிகா கால்ட் அத்வைத பிரகரணம். அண்ட் இன் திஸ் சாப்டர் கௌடபாதாச்சாரியா இஸ் அனலைசிங் த வேர்ட் அத்வைத்தம் which is used in Mantra 7 of Mandukya Upanishad while defining the Turiya Atma. That mantra we are very very familiar. So he wishes to bring out the significance of the word Advaitam. Advaitam is that which cannot multiply into many things and so remains one. If Brahman is always one, a creation can never be born out of Brahman. Therefore, the creation of the universe out of Brahman is not possible. So, if at all we experience the arrival of the universe, it is an experience of only an appearance. It is not factual. So, Gaudapada Acharya says that our experience is not wrong, but the conclusion based on the experience, that alone is wrong. He does not challenge the experience at all, but only challenges our conclusion. The experience of the sun, for example, going around the earth, can never be questioned because we experience the sun rising, moving across the sky and setting. That is our experience. This experience is not questioned, but the conclusion based on the experience that is revised with the knowledge that the earth alone rotates on its own axis. So even after the conclusion is revised, the experience still continues. Every day we see sunrise, sunset, all that. Similarly, we experience the world, birth of living beings, and the death of living beings, all that we experience. Gaudapada Acharya does not challenge this experience at all, but only the conclusion we draw from it. Our experience is the birth of sentient beings and the inert objects, anatma. The sentient beings are jivatma, and the inert universe is the prapancha. And Gaudapada Acharya challenges the conclusion that we make from this experience that Jivatma and world are born out of Brahman. So the revised conclusion is that Jivatma is not born out of Brahman because Jivatma is not born at all. What a bombshell. The world also is not born out of Brahman because the world is not born at all. Gaudapada Acharya negates the creation of the jiva using logic, tarka, through the example of space. Space, akasha. Space is only one. It cannot multiply or divide itself into many. But what is our experience? We experience the seeming multiplication of space. And how does it take place? When several enclosures are made, vessels. The all-pervading space is available in every vessel, every enclosure, every building. Thus, we have seemingly several enclosed spaces. The seemingly many spaces have different names, forms, functions. We say small space, big space, all that. Each space seems to have a date of birth also, and also a date of death. There is a building born inaugurated today, there is building space. If the building is broken tomorrow, death of space. We experience all these, but the experience does not warrant our conclusion that these happenings are factual. In and through all these phenomena, nothing has happened to the space itself. Similarly, consciousness remains one always. And in that consciousness, many bodies arrive and depart. But it looks like consciousness is arriving and going. That is not true. The enclosed consciousness is called the Jivatma. The Jivatma is not born. And it is only the enclosure, body-mind complex, that arrives and that goes. The misconception of birth and death of Jivatma are described in Shlokas 3 and 4. Only the word Jivatma is born and dies, but no Jiva is born at any time. Only the word is born. That is what Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita also. Na jayate mriyate va kadachit nayam bhutva bhavita vanabhuyaha ajo nitya shashvatoyam puranaha na hanyate hanyamane sharire. This Atma is neither born at any time, nor does it die also. It will neither come to existence, nor will it disappear again. It is unborn, deathless, decayless, and growthless. It is not affected when the body is affected. Second chapter. So we saw up to shloka number 3 in the last class. Now we are going to continue with shloka number 4 of Mandukya Karika today. Let us read. Gatadishu pralineshu gatakashodayo yatha akashe sampraliyante tadvajjivaikatmani. Jivas, they merge into this Atma just as part, space, etc. merge into the total space when the part, etc. are dissolved or disintegrated or broken. So when the parts are created, the part spaces are seemingly created. When the parts are broken, what happens to the part space? Generally, it is said part space merges into total space when the part is broken. Gaudapada Acharya asks, what is the meaning of the word merges? The word merges is a verb indicating some action. Does the part space travel after the part is broken to merge with total space? No. Can you then say that part space undergoes a change to become total space? That also is no, because space cannot undergo change. Therefore, there is no travel, no change. Then why is the verb merges used? Is it not a false verb? The word merges conveys only one thing. Part space merging into total space means that nothing happens outside, but we just withdraw the word part space. Previously, we introduced the word part space, and later we withdraw the word. Both are phenomena only in our speech, but as far as space is concerned, nothing has happened. We introduce a word and call it Srishti, and we get trapped in that word. We introduce another word called merger and call it dissolution also. So from the viewpoint of space, there is no creation or dissolution. Similarly, Atma is always Atma. In the presence of the bodies, we introduce a word Jivatma, and thereafter we decide that we want to merge that Jivatma into Paramatma. This is our struggle for moksha, all born out of our introduction of a word called Jivatma. There is no such thing called Jivatma other than the word Jivatma. Now Gaudapada Acharya explains this with an example. Shloka number 5. Yataikasmin ghata kashe rajo dumadi bhiryate na sarve samprayujyante tadvajjivatsukhadibhi. So all the jivas, they are not associated with pleasure, etc. Just as all part spaces are not associated with dust, smoke, etc. When one is associated with dust, smoke and all that thing, when the enclosures are many, the enclosed spaces seem to be varied and many. They seem to have many different attributes also. Different objects contained in the varied spaces, they seem to make those spaces assume the properties of the objects. In the same way, small object, small space. Big object, big space. In the same way, the many seeming Jivatmas have different attributes. Thus, Jivatma seems to be many with different attributes. Gaudapada warns against coming to the conclusion that Atma is many. When one enclosed space is contaminated by dust, smoke or anything, other enclosed spaces are not contaminated. This makes us count space as many. This is our experience. But the fact is that space is not many, not bound, and not divided. In the same way, some jivas are endowed with happiness and some other jivas are unhappy, but that is only a seeming experience. Even though space may be foul smelling, but that smell in the air contained in the space, but the space is not contaminated by it. Even when the sorrow is in the mind, it cannot contaminate the all-pervading Chaitanyam consciousness Atma. Shloka number 6. Rupa karya samakhyascha bhidyante tatra tatra vai akashasya nabedosti tatvajiveshu nirnayaha. Rupakarya forms, functions and name, they differ in each case, vidyante. But there is no difference in space. Akashasya na bedaha asti. Same is the conclusion with regard to tatva jiveshu nirnayaha. The same conclusion is drawn even with respect to jivas. So each enclosed space has a limited function that varies, indicating they are different experientially. But factually, there are no difference in the space at all. It is usually said that space inside a room is small and the space outside the room is big. Gaudapada says that this statement itself is wrong. There is no question of space inside the room and the space outside the room. There is only one space in which all the rooms exist. Space is not in the rooms, but the rooms are in one indivisible space. So the first mistake is that we say that space is within the room. And the second mistake is that we say that the space in the room is small compared to the space outside. Similarly, there are not many Atmas in different bodies, but there is only one Atma in which all bodies exist. They all exist. Shloka 7. Nakashasya ghatakashe vikaravaya vavyatha naivatmana sada jivaha vikaravaya vayyatha. So jiva is not at all a product or part of the Atma at any time. Just as the part space is not a product or part of the total space. Same way. So this is a very, very important shloka, very useful for nididhyasana. Consider, for example, the part space and the open space. What is the relationship between the enclosed part space and the open space? Gaudapada Acharya, he suggests two possibilities. Can it be said that the enclosed space is the product of total space? Then it would mean that total and enclosed space would have cause-effect relationship. If it is not viable, can it be said that enclosed space is part of the total space? So the first one is cause-effect relationship and the second one is what? Part-whole relationship. If either of the two possibilities is established, extending that to the Jivatma and Paramatma, it can be said that Jivatma is the product of Paramatma, then it will be Dvaitam, or Jivatma is part of Paramatma, that will be Visishtadvaitam. So Gaudapada Acharya rejects both. Enclosed space is neither product nor a part of the total space. Part space is not a product because the part space was present even before the part was created. The parter never creates the part space. There is no difference in space before and after the creation of the part. The enclosed space is not a part of the total space because space cannot be divided or separated by any object. The wall does not separate the inner space and outer space. Wall itself exists in space. If it can separate, you can take the two spaces away. The wall cannot separate because there is space wherever the wall is standing also. So when you cut a butter, for example, with a knife, as the cut is made, there is butter on one side and on the other. but know better where the knife is. This is separation. However, the wall has not replaced the space where it is standing. And so there is no separation of space due to the wall. Therefore, the space is not inside the room, but the room is inside the space. Space is an indivisible whole. Similarly, Jivatma is not a product of Paramatma or a part of Paramatma. Jivatma is another name for Paramatma, just like part space is another name for one indivisible total space. The name Jivatma is useful for what? For transaction. Jivatma described as a spark of Paramatma, likening it to sparks from a fire, they are all wrong descriptions. Shloka number 8. Yatha bhavati balanam gaganam malinam malaihi tatha bhavatya buddhanam atma api malino malaihi. So just as the space appears sullied with dirt for children, malinam malaihi. In the same way, the Atma also appears sullied with impurities for the ignorant people. It appears sullied. If a pot is contaminated with a foul-smelling substance, the milk contained in the pot will get contaminated with that smell, and the space inside the pot would seem to be contaminated also, because it is in association with the pot. The enclosed space has never become impure. It is ever pure, and it need not merge into the pure total space because there is no separation at all. Similarly, the body is the contaminated pot, all our bodies. The milk is the subtle body with all the impurities, all our sukshma shariram. The body and mind need to be purified. But based on the body and mind, I conclude that I, who am neither the body nor the mind, but the enclosed consciousness, am impure. That's what I conclude. That notion has to be dropped by studying the scriptures, Vedanta. For that, the mind is required. The mind has to be purified for studying the scriptures and not for purifying the Atma. When the mind is reasonably sattvic mind, and the scriptures are all studied, I understand that I have always been pure and have been one with Paramatma all the time. And Gaudapada Acharya says that not knowing this, everyone says, I am impure. The enclosed space within an impure pot appears impure. But even when it appears impure, the space is always pure. The air in that space may be impure. Only childish people say that the space is impure. Gaudapada Acharya says that we are all doing the same thing with respect to us also. Balana, child. So the enclosed Jivatma within the body-mind complex also appears impure based on the impurity of the mind. Because of this, the Jiva says, I am impure. This causes problem. Because Atma has been mixed up with the Anatma. What needs to be done is to purify the mind, study the scriptures, and understand that I am not the mind, I am ever the Atma. Shloka 9. Marane sambhave chaiva gatyagamana yorapi sthitau sarva sharireshu Akashena vilakshanaha. So the jiva, that is similar to the part space in the case of death, birth, departure, arrival and existence in various bodies, all are same. The jiva is similar to part space only. So Gaudapada Acharya has analyzed the part space example sufficiently. And this can be extended further also based on some indication he has given. Gaudapada, he concludes by establishing that part space is only seemingly created. And similarly, Jivatma is only seemingly created. Thus, the negation of the origination of the Jivatma is established. With respect to birth, death, going, arrival, departure, the enclosure has been mistaken for the enclosed one, namely the Atma. Jivatma is very similar to part space with respect to the seeming birth, death, arrival, departure and all plurality. The part space has utility, even though it is not at all born. We can store the substance to eat maybe in the part space only, not outside. The appearance and experience of the Jivatma are not negated. That is very important. We never negate the appearance and experience of Jivatma, but only its existence and origination, that alone is negated by Vedanta. So with this, the first stage is now over. Now with shloka number 10, let us go to the other stages. Sangata swapnavatsya sarve atma maya visarjitaha adhikye sarvasam eva nopapattirhi vidyate. So all bodies, they are all projected by maya. They are all projected by maya of the atma, like dream. As we project the dream during sleep, maya projects this entire bodies, all this, the prapancha. There is no reason to establish the reality at all, whether there is superiority or total equality among them. No need for any of that. It is only a projection, like dream. So Gaudapada Acharya is now entering into the second topic of the logical negation of the origination of the world. We are now trying to negate the origination of the world, Jivatmas, all of them. For this Gaudapada, he takes only one shloka. The potter, he does not create the pot space, but the potter creates the pot. The origination of the pot is clearly seen. Similarly, the Jivatma, the enclosed consciousness, may not be created. But what about the enclosure body? We got to know Jivatma and the body. The enclosure body, should not the creation of body be accepted? Just like the potter creating the pot. Therefore, the origination of the body, thereby many bodies, that should be accepted. Then the origination of five elements and the entire world, that should be accepted also, prapancha. Consciousness may not be created, but should the creation of the body and the world not be accepted? And Gaudapada Acharya explains, the non-origination of the world logically by giving different examples. Actually, this Advaita Prakaranam is very complicated because it is so much contrary to our day-to-day experience. The purpose of the previous example was to show that Jivatma is not created just as part space is not created. Once that is understood, that example should be discarded. There it is. We cannot be holding on to the example afterwards. It is just only for that purpose. It was given. So every example serves only a limited purpose. You cannot generalize. Even though the body is appearing and is experienced, it should not be concluded that the body exists and originated. Gaudapada Acharya uses the dream world as the example to explain the non-existence and non-origination of the jiva bodies and the world, the waking world, the prapancha. Jagrat prapancha. So the dream world is appearing and experienced, but one can never talk about the existence and origination of the dream world. So this was dealt with elaborately in chapter 2. We already saw it in the Vaitatya Prakaranam. In the previous chapter, we saw it in detail. The waking world, including the jiva bodies and the world, should be understood in a similar manner. All the bodies and objects of the world, they do not exist or originate, but they appear because of self-ignorance in the form of Maya Shakti. We told for dream, the Nidra Shakti. For this existence of the world, we are talking about Maya Shakti. Irrespective of whatever differences are seemingly there between the waking state and the dream states, dream worlds, they are all mithya only. There is no logic to establish that the world is actually created out of Brahman. With this, the negation of Jagat Srishti, that is the creation of the world, through this example, is over. So to understand mithya, following four conditions for mithya should be understood. We have seen this earlier, but I am going to just reiterate. Existence is negated, mithya, there is no existence of its own. Origination is negated. Appearance and experience are accepted. Even though existence and origination are negated, appearance and experience are accepted. Existence is negated. The cause of the for the appearance and experience is avidya, self-ignorance. So, two examples are given. Space, number one is space, to show that Jivatma is not created. And number two, dream, to show that the world is not created. So, Jivatma not created by space example, part space example. And dream is example to show that the world itself is not created, is a projection. So, the above is good for Nididhyasanam. One should go on practicing this. During Shravanam, we hear all this. During Mananam, we go on recapitulating and again reflecting on this to clear all the doubts. And in Nididhyasanam, we try to get rid of our Viparita Bhavana, also habitual tendencies. Because our experience, we experience the world in real time. When I pinch my hand, it hurts. If somebody pinches, also hurts. I cannot discount all of them. Rasadayo hi ye kosha vyakyata staitiriyakem tesham atma paro jivaha khamgyata samprakashitaha. So the five koshas, the annamaya kosha, pranamaya kosha, beginning with annamaya kosha, are mentioned in Taittiriya Upanishad. In our Taittiriya Upanishad lectures, we dealt with them elaborately. So all the five koshas, annamaya, pranamaya, manomaya, vijnanamaya, anandamaya, all these koshas. So the Supreme Atma is revealed as the content of them, like space. Now Gaudapada Acharya enters the third topic, which is the negation of Jiva Srishti through scriptures. The creation of Jivas through scriptures, he is negating. Logic and science, they both have limitations. During our Katopanishad lectures, we saw it in great detail. Naisha tarkena matirapaneya prokta anyenaiva sujnanaya preshta. We already saw that in Katopanishad. Logic can never reveal the truth. There is Shastra Pramanam for the negation of Jiva Srishti. So Slokas 11 to 14, they describe the negation of the creation of the Jiva through scriptures. Scriptures themselves declare. So Gaudapada Acharya shows that in all the Upanishads, the central teaching is what? Jivatma Paramatma Aikyam. The oneness of Jivatma and Paramatma is the teaching in all Upanishads. And each Upanishad is centered around a Mahavakyam, a great saying that reveals the identity between the Jivatma and Paramatma, the oneness. And the most famous Mahavakyam is what? Tattvamasi of Samaveda. Aham Brahmasmi. Ayamatma Brahma. Prajnanam Brahma. There are some of the other Mahavakyams. There are many such statements in the Upanishads. All the traditional people, whatever may be their darshanam, their philosophy, they accept that Paramatma is unborn. Even other religions accept an unborn, uncreated entity, God, all that. Because of the identity between Paramatma and Jivatma, if Paramatma is unborn, then Jivatma must be unborn also. Gaudapada Acharya does not quote here, but we can see in the Bhagavad Gita, 2nd chapter, 20th shloka, na jayate mriyate va kadachit nayam bhutva bhavita vana bhuya ajo nityaha shashvatoyam puranaha na hanyate hanyamane sharire, that we said earlier. So in Krishna quotes here Gaudapada Acharya quotes the Taittiriya Upanishad, which talks about the five koshas, annamaya, pranamaya, all those koshas, in the second chapter, sections 1 to 5 of Taittiriya Upanishad, Brahmananda Valli. So one section for each kosha is described in that Upanishad. Kosha is an enclosure. So one within another, starting from Annamaya kosha, then Pranamaya, then Manomaya, one within the other. Finally, Anandamaya kosha. So after talking about each kosha or enclosures, it talks about Atma, consciousness principle, experiencing all the five koshas. I experience the five koshas, so I must be the inner content, different from the koshas. If I have to experience something, I should be different from them. So that is the Atma, that is the witness consciousness, Sakshi Chaitanyam. This inner Atma is equated to Brahman. Later, this question is made even clear. So, Jivatma Paramatma identity is revealed in the Taittiriya Upanishad. We saw it in great detail there. Thus, Jivatma is never born, just as Paramatma is never born. This was made clear earlier with the example of space given in Sloka 3 to 9. We just read. This does not mean that birthdays of Jiva should not be celebrated. We can very happily celebrate birthdays. Within the play that the waking world is, all the rules and protocols should be followed with the understanding that all of this is mithya. So, Sloka 11 referred to Taittiriya Upanishad in support of the negation of Jiva Srishti, the creation of Jivas. Sloka 12. Dvayor dvayor madu jnane param brahma prakashitam prativyamudare chaiva yatakasha prakashitaha. So, in the Madhu Brahmana, in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, there is a chapter called Madhu Brahmana, that is in the second chapter, fifth section. So, Brahman is revealed, the Supreme, the Brahman is revealed in pairs, dvandvas, pairs of locations. Just as the same space is shown in the earth and in the stomach. For example, the earth is in the stomach, in the space is in the stomach and outside also. So, in this shloka, Gaudapada Acharya takes a quotation from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, as I told, second chapter, fifth section. So, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad has six chapters and each chapter has several sections called Brahmanas. So, the second chapter, fifth section is called Madhu Brahmana because the word Madhu is repeatedly used in that Brahmana, in that particular section, in that Madhu Brahmana. There, the Upanishad divides the world into several pairs belonging to the individual planes, microcosm and the corresponding macrocosm, all of them. So, the macrocosm is called Devata and Surya Devata is the Samashti macrocosm and Adhyatmam and Adidevam, all that. Taking these Vashti Samashti pairs, for example, the eyes or eye, if you take the eyes of all of us, that is called microcosm. And Surya Devata is the presiding deity of eyes and is the Samashti macrocosm of all eyes. So, taking this Vashti Samashti path, we have seen all these things actually in Tattva Bodha elaborately. That's why I tell all our people who attend our lectures to frequently go to Tattva Bodha and refer to the concepts so that I don't have to be keep on explaining it. Then it will become, we will be delaying these lectures. So, taking this Vashti Samashti path, the Upanishad says that even though superficially they are different, the essence of both of them is only one Atma. Normally, wave and ocean example is generally given. Wave and ocean. We have seen this example all many times. So, wave is Vashti individual and ocean is Samashti total. So, water is the essence of both the wave and the ocean. So, taking several such paths, the Upanishad says that the same Atma as the essence of the total is called Paramatma. And as the essence of the individual is called Jiva. So, it's the same Atma gets two names, as the essence of the individual as Jivatma and of the total as Paramatma. Only name. So, in the Madhu Brahmanam, the Eka Atma, the one Atma is revealed as the essence of both the Vashti individual and the Samashti total at various levels, revealing the identity between Jivatma and Paramatma. So, Jivatma is not born out of Paramatma, therefore Jiva Srishti does not happen. To illustrate the essential identity between the Vashti and Samashti, Gaudapada Acharya points out that the space in our own stomachs is not different from the space all over the earth also. Shloka 13. Jivatmanorananyatvam Abhedena prashasyate nanatvam nindyate yachya tadevam hi samanjasam. So the non-difference, the abhedam, the non-difference between jiva and atma, jiva atmanayoho, that is praised prashasyate through the statements of identity and plurality is condemned. So these two are praised by identity. Aikyam and plurality, multiplicity, that is condemned. Such a teaching which is mentioned above that becomes consistent in this way. That is the only way it can get consistent. So here Gaudiya Padacharya says that the Jivatma Paramatma identity is repeatedly stated throughout all the Upanishads in the form of Mahavakyas. We just saw Rigveda mentions Prajnanam Brahma, that is the Mahavakyam. Yajurveda says Aham Brahmasmi, and Samaveda says Tattvamasi. Atharvaveda says I am Atma Brahma, which appears in the Mandukya Upanishad. We already saw earlier. So all the four Vedas, they repeatedly say that Jivatma and Paramatma are one and the same through the Mahavakyas. And after revealing the identity, the Upanishads glorify that knowledge by saying that this knowledge alone liberates a person. The life would become meaningful only if this knowledge is gained. If one misses this knowledge, this human life becomes meaningless, because all the other things that we acquire in this Janma cannot be carried with us. I can have a big house, big car, this life, lot of bank balance, none of them will go with us. Jivatma is not born out of Paramatma. On the other hand, Jivatma is Paramatma. After glorifying this identity, the Upanishad strongly criticizes those who see the Jivatma Paramatma difference, saying that they will continue to be samsaris. Katopanishad says, what does, we already saw that also in Katopanishad. Yadeveha tad amutra, yad amutra tadanviha, mrityohosa mrityum apunoti, ya iha naneva pashyati. That which is here alone is there. Yad yeva iha, whatever is here, that amutra also is there also. That which is there, yad amutra, that also, tadanviha, that also there is alone, there is here. So one who sees here plurality at all, as it were, he goes from death to death only. Saha mrityum apunoti, mrityoho mrityum apunoti, goes from death to death, yaha iha naneva pashyati, who sees plurality. Thus the identity is glorified and the difference is criticized. And identity is the teaching. The Jiva Ishvara Aikyam is the teaching. So the oneness and Jivatma and Paramatma is revealed through the Mahavakyas. And it is glorified as the only meaningful knowledge. Not only that, the difference is criticized also. So Gaudiya Padacharya concludes that Upanishads also support his statement that Jivatma is never born. Shloka 14. Jivatmano pratakvam yate pragutpatte prakirtitam bhavishyat prityagaunam tate mukhyatvam hina yujyate. So the separateness of Jiva and Atma, which is declared in the scriptures before these statements of the creation, is only secondary with respect to the future teaching, with regard to the future teaching of identity. So initially in the Upanishads, you know, in Vedas, it takes about all the other statements of all plurality and all Jivatma, but in the later teachings of identity. So it is not at all proper to attribute primary importance to that separateness given in the Veda Purvabhaga. So here, Gaudiya Padacharya is answering a possible doubt. The Jivatma Paramatma identity, it is glorified in all the Upanishads and the difference is criticized. So the Upanishads are only the final and smaller part of the Vedas. It's a small part. There is a huge voluminous portion of the Vedas which is much bigger in size than the Upanishads. And in that portion, Vedas talk about the Jivatma Paramatma difference. The entire Karmakanda portion that describes the Jivatma worshipping the Paramatma, and the difference between them is stressed. The Upasana section of the Vedas, that also maintains the difference. So Gaudiya Padacharya, you know, he says it to be unfair and selective in quoting Vedas to support his claims. So and he addresses it like this. The entire Vedas, they wish to talk about only identity. That alone is the aim of Vedas. So even though the difference causes samsara, Vedas do not want to negate that difference. right in the beginning itself. The entire Karmakanda talks about difference only. The difference has an advantage also. Vedas, they use the difference first. For what? By using the karma section and upasana section of Vedas, we get the necessary mental maturity for Jnana Yoga, Chitta Shuddhi, Chitta Ekagrata, the Sadhana Chaturshti Sampatti, we saw all that. Vedas do not negate the difference first, but encourage us for ripening our mind. When the mind is ripened, the differences are removed. It is like removing the skin of a banana. Only after the fruit ripens, then the removed skin is discarded also. Dvaitam is a required provisional teaching, but not the permanent prominent teaching. The difference between Jivatma and Paramatma, they are talked about before the Vedantic teaching in the former part of the Vedas and is temporarily accepted also. So from the standpoint of the ultimate teaching, which is Advaitam, the Dvaita difference is only temporary. Ultimately, this has to be dropped, like dropping the banana skin. Vedas do not prescribe a time limit for when one comes to the Advaita teaching. He can come anytime. One can continue in where the seeker is a jiva and Ishvara is different from him. No problem. The jiva does karma and accepts the karma palam from Ishvara and prays to Ishvara to give him the strength to accept them also. So at that time, even exposure to Vedanta can only result in academic knowledge, which is fine. Until that time, when the seeker is ready to start assimilating the knowledge, Dvaitam should never be given ultimate importance. Tertiary format, we mentioned in the last class, tertiary format should give way to the binary format. Advaitam should be received. And if Advaitam is too much to accept, keep it as information for the time being and continue in Karma Yoga and Upasana Yoga. There is no harm at all in doing that. With this, the third topic of negation of Jiva Srishti with the Srishti Pramanam, that is also over. Now let us go to the 15th shloka. Mrilloha vispulingatyaihim srishtirya choditam yatham upaya sopatarayam nasti betakka tanchanam. So creation has been taught in many ways through the example of clay, gold, spark, all that. We all know all these examples. We have used them in many places. So it is a method for the understanding of non-duality only. There is no duality anyhow, even though these examples have been used everywhere. So Gaudapada Acharya now enters the fourth topic of Jagat Srishti, the creation of the Prapancha, from the viewpoint of Srishti Pramanam in Shlokas 15 to 26. So the Acharya's conclusion is, the world has not originated from Brahman. He starts by answering a possible question from the student. Imagine. It is said that nothing is originated and the world has not originated from Brahman. But the Upanishads talk about the origination of the world all the time. We have been seeing it. And Gaudapada Acharya seems to contradict the Upanishads. So this is the toughest part of Vedanta, difficult to explain and understand. How can we say that world has not originated when Upanishads clearly talk about it, origination of the universe? Akashad vayuhu vayor agnihi agne rapaha adhya prithivi prithivya oshadeha oshadibhyonnam, all that thing Taittiriya Upanishad itself said. So any number of examples of this can be given. The Mundaka Upanishad and Taittiriya Upanishad, they talk about Srishti. The Chandogya Upanishad chapter 6 talks about origination of the world by giving example of earth and ware and clay, various iron materials out of iron, various ornaments from gold, they are all created. It clearly says that similarly, the objects of the world also come out of Brahman. Then how can Gaudapada Acharya contradict all these descriptions? So the Acharya says that the Upanishads do talk about creation, but they do not mean it. That looks rather ridiculous for us. It talks about something, but it does not mean it. He says that the Upanishads only temporarily present the creation as though it has come to explain a point. He says that this will become clear if the Upanishads are studied thoroughly to the end. Don't stop with just the Karmakanda portion. Go all the way to the end. mananam. And nididhyasanam should be done back and forth at shravanam level. People may have all these doubts. The very Upanishad that talks about creation negates it summarily at the end. So if the Upanishad really meant to say that the world has come out of Brahman, it should say at the end that there is a world in front of us. From this it is clear that the Upanishads introduce creation temporarily for teaching Brahman. And once Brahman is understood, the idea of creation that should be dropped. Then the world should be understood as an appearance. We experience the world. It appears in front of us. But it is not an originated entity from Brahman. Shloka 16. Ashramastrividhahinam madhyamotkrishta drishtayaha upasanopadishteyam tadarthamanukampaya. Ashramaha trivida. So there are three types of seekers, ashramas, with inferior, you know, heenami, and then madhyamaha, and then utkrishta. So inferior people, intermediate understanding, superior vision, they are all there, three types. Upasana has been taught for them out of compassion, anukampaya, for they are also taught. Why does the Upanishad temporarily accept the creation and why can it not teach the appearance in the beginning itself? Upanishad would have told, oh, the entire world is only an appearance. It is not real. It would have said. But Gaudapada Acharya says that all the students are not Uttama Adhikaris. Manda Madhyama Adhikaris are there. Initially, they are those people who come as students. These are rare people, these Uttama Adhikaris, who can understand Aham Satyam, Jagat Mithya, merely by the example of dream. To these Uttama Adhikaris, to those supreme students, if you give just the example of dream, they can understand Aham Satyam, Jagat Mithya. So in two ways, Vedanta can be completed if we can compare this world to dream. Even though Vedanta gives the example of dream, in other places, Vedanta keeps aside dream example and elaborately talks about space. Space is born, air is born. I just now quoted Taittiriya Upanishad. So thereafter, Panchikaranam is involving the subtle and gross elements is taught because it tallies with our idea of gradual evolution of universe. The subject of Panchikaranam, that is a big topic in Tattvabodha. We went through that in great detail. The grossification, we call it grossification in English, Panchikaranam, from Panchabhutas. So that teaching is so convincing, even though that is not the message of Vedanta. Gaudapada Acharya says that students are of these three types, the lowest ones, the middle ones, intermediaries, and the superior ones, the most qualified ones, who are sadhana chatushtaya sampannaha. So the lowest one is who has neither practiced karma yoga nor upasana yoga. The one who does not have purity or focus of the mind, chitta shuddhi or chitta ekagrata is not there for him yet. Their minds are riddled with bundles of likes and dislikes, ragadveshas, and thereby preoccupied most of the time. No reception of the teaching takes place in a Vedantic class. Mind is shut off. It is all toiling between raga and dvesha all the time, even in sitting in a Veda class, in a Vedanta class. So the intermediate one is who has practiced karma yoga, but not upasana yoga. Karma yoga, he practiced, he has got chitta shuddhi. But mind is not still, chitta ekagrata has not come, chitta naishchalyam, the one point attention has not come yet, focus. So this person has purity of mind, but no focus of the mind. So when he comes to the class, for example, Vedanta class, reception takes place. But he does not have any retention of the teaching. It just enters into the ear and just also disappears into the air. So this person understands everything in the class, but forgets after the class. In the class, for him, everything is so logical, very understandable, everything makes sense. Since the moment he gets out of the class, everything is just a dark. Arjuna himself had this problem. In the 6th chapter, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, you are teaching well. He gives a certificate to Krishna also. And I am receiving the message also well. But what happens? It just disappears. So the intermediary ones, they have reception, but no retention of the teaching.
And the superior, the Uttama Adhikaris, they are the one who has gone through Karma Yoga and Upasana Yoga, has purity and focus of the mind. Chitta Shuddhi, Chitta Ekagrata. And when that person listens to the teaching, his mind easily absorbs it. These highly qualified people, they are very rare. Karma Yoga and Upasana Yoga are prescribed for the ones who have the lowest and intermediary qualifications. So it is stressed that even though one attends Vedanta classes, one should practice the attitude to offer all actions to Ishvara and accept all results as gift from Him. This we emphasize so many times in Bhagavad Gita, Ishvara Arpana Buddhi and Ishvara Prasada Buddhi, all actions offered to all as Arpanam to the Lord. And whatever comes out of the action, about which you have no control, accept them as Ishvara Prasada. So Gita is very, very relevant in one's life when attending particularly Vedanta classes. So that is why actually we have done two cycles of the entire Bhagavad Gita. So all those lectures are all in our website. So whenever people have time, they may at least go through those lectures. Shloka 17. Swasiddhanta vyavasthasu dvaitino nischita dhridham parasparam viruddhyante tairayam na viruddhyate. So the dualists, the people, dvaitinaha, the dualists, they are firmly settled on their own set of conclusions. They contradict one another. So this teaching is not in conflict with them at all. That has to be understood. This teaching is not in conflict with them. Because of the Veda's temporary acceptance of the origination, people think that the world has really originated from Brahman. Because the Purva Bhaga of Veda always talks about creation. And even in Upanishads. Therefore, they look upon the Dvaitam as Satyam. This is a widely held misconception because they do not know the ultimate teaching of the Vedas. Gaudiya Padacharya says that not only ordinary people have this misconception, but many philosophers also have it. And they are dualistic philosophers. There are many Dvaita proponents who argue that Dvaitam is Satyam. Based on that misconception, they have their own philosophical systems. Each one will hold on to their system as the correct one. And that all the other systems are wrong also. Each system has its own concept of God. Vaishnavas will say Vishnu is the ultimate God. And only by going to Vishnu, one will get moksha. Saivites will argue similarly. Shiva is the ultimate God. So the dualistic philosophers, they say that their system alone is the ultimate truth. So wherever there is duality, it can be looked at from different angles. For example, a camera can be used to take pictures of a particular object from different angles. Each picture is true from the angle from which the picture was taken. Thus, there is only one relative reality in Dvaitam. People normally talk about the seven blind persons feeling an elephant. They give different accounts of the elephant. And that shows that the different versions are true with respect to a given perception. There's nothing wrong based on a given perception. Thus, there is only relative reality in Dvaitam. Truth behind Dvaitam is Advaitam only. A non-dualist, Advaitin, he will see that each dualist is correct from his standpoint. He will not discount them. None of them is correct from the other standpoint. From their standpoint, they are correct. The dualists will quarrel all the time, but non-dualists will not quarrel with anyone. We have nothing to quarrel. That is why Shankaracharya established the worship of Shiva, Vishnu, Devi, Ganapati, all devatas. The dualists firmly adhere to their own theories. Some say that creation is many, many things assembled into one, a journey from many to one. People always talk about so many things. Another one argues that creation is from one to many. Both are right from their own angles. They fight with each other and refuse to listen to each other. For a non-dualist, the different systems and deities are not ends in themselves, but only means to Advaita. The non-dualist does not have a quarrel with anyone at all. He understands practical world is dual. Shloka 18. Advaitam paramartho hi ದ್ವೈತಂ ತದ್ಭೇದ ಉಚ್ಯತೆ ತೇಷಾಂ ಉಭಯತಾ ದ್ವೈತಂ ತೇನಾಯಂ ನ ವಿರುದ್ಧ್ಯತೆ.
ನಾನ್-ಡ್ಯುವಾಲಿಟಿ ಈಸ್ ಇನ್ ದೀಡ್ ದ ಅಬ್ಸಲ್ಯೂಟ್ ರಿಯಾಲಿಟಿ. ಅದ್ವೈತಂ ಪರಮಾರ್ಥತಃ. ಡ್ಯುವಾಲಿಟಿ ಈಸ್ ಸೆಟ್ ಟು ಬಿ ಮ್ಯಾನಿಫೆಸ್ಟೇಷನ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ. ಅದ್ವೈತಂ ತತ್ ದ್ವೈತಂ ತದ್ಭೇದ ಉಚ್ಯತೆ. ಫಾರ್ ಡ್ಯುವಲಿಸ್ ಡ್ಯುವಾಲಿಟಿ ಎಕ್ಸಿಸ್ಟ್ ಬೋತ್ ಎಂಪಿರಿಕಲಿ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಅಬ್ಸಲ್ಯೂಟ್ಲಿ ಫಾರ್ ದಮ್. ಸೊ ದಿಸ್ ಟೀಚಿಂಗ್ ಈಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಇನ್ ಕಾನ್ಫ್ಲಿಕ್ಟ್ ವಿತ್ ದಮ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ. ದ ಅಬ್ಸಲ್ಯೂಟ್ ರಿಯಾಲಿಟಿ ಈಸ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಒನ್, ನಾನ್ ಡ್ಯುವಲ್ ಪ್ರಿನ್ಸಿಪಲ್, ಅದ್ವೈತ ಪ್ರಿನ್ಸಿಪಲ್. ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ನೋನ್ ಆಸ್ ದ ತುರಿಯಾತ್ಮ. ವಿ ಆಲ್ರೆಡಿ ಸಾ ಇನ್ ಮಂಡುಕ್ಯ ಆಲ್ ದಿ ಡ್ಯುವಾಲಿಟಿ ಈಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಅಪಿಯರೆನ್ಸಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಒನ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮನ್ ಥ್ರೂ ಮಾಯಾ. ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಆಸ್ ಥ್ರೂ ನಿದ್ರಾಶಕ್ತಿ ದ ಡ್ರೀಮ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಅಪಿಯರ್ಸ್. ವಿ ಆಲ್ರೆಡಿ ಮೆನ್ಷನ್ ದಿಸ್. ನಿದ್ರಾಶಕ್ತಿ ಈಸ್ ರೆಸ್ಪಾನ್ಸಿಬಲ್ ಫಾರ್ ದ ಡ್ರೀಮ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಟು ಅಪಿಯರ್. ಅಂಡ್ ಅದ್ವೈತಂ ಅಪಿಯರ್ಸ್ ಆಸ್ ದ್ವೈತಂ. ಆಸ್ ಲಾಂಗ್ ಆಸ್ ಐ ಆಮ್ ಇಗ್ನರೆಂಟ್ ಐ ವಿಲ್ ಟೇಕ್ ದ ದ್ವೈತಂ ಟು ಬಿ ರಿಯಲ್. ದಿ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಟೀಚಿಂಗ್ ಸ್ಟಾರ್ಟ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ದ್ವೈತಂ ಓನ್ಲಿ, ದ ನ್ಯಾಚುರಲ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪೀರಿಯನ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಪೀಪಲ್, ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಇಟ್ ಎಂಡ್ಸ್ ವಿತ್ ಅದ್ವೈತಂ. ಸೊ ಫ್ರಮ್ ದ ಡ್ಯುವಲ್ ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ಪಾಯಿಂಟ್ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಆಲ್ವೇಸ್ ದ್ವೈತಂ. ವೆದರ್ ಡ್ಯೂರಿಂಗ್ ಸಂಸಾರ ಆರ್ ಇಗ್ನರೆನ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ಮೋಕ್ಷ ಆರ್ ನಾಲೆಡ್ಜ್, ಫಾರ್ ದಮ್ ದ್ವೈತಂ ಇಸ್ ದಿ ಅಲ್ಟಿಮೇಟ್ ರಿಯಾಲಿಟಿ. ಸೊ ದ ನಾನ್ ಡ್ಯುವಲಿಸ್ಟ್ ಡಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ವಾಂಟ್ ಟು ಕಾಂಟ್ರಡಿಕ್ಟ್ ದಮ್. ಅದ್ವೈತಿ ಡಸ್ ವಾಂಟ್ ಟು ಕಾಂಟ್ರಡಿಕ್ಟ್ ದಮ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ದೇ ಆರ್ ಆಲ್ವೇಸ್ ಕರೆಕ್ಟ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ದೇರ್ ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ಪಾಯಿಂಟ್. ಹಿ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಟ್ರೈಸ್ ಟು ರಿವೀಲ್ ದ ಟೀಚಿಂಗ್, ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಅನ್ಲೆಸ್ ದೇ ಕೋಆಪರೇಟ್ ದ ಟೀಚಿಂಗ್ ಕ್ಯಾನಾಟ್ ಬಿ ಡನ್. ಆಲ್ ಡ್ಯುವಲಿಸ್ಟ್ ದೇ ರಿಜಿಡ್ಲಿ ಹೋಲ್ಡ್ ಆನ್ ಟು ದರ್ ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ಪಾಯಿಂಟ್, ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಕರೆಕ್ಟ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಈವನ್ ದೇ ಡಿಸ್ಕರೇಜ್ ದರ್ ಫಾಲೋವರ್ಸ್ ಪರ್ಹ್ಯಾಪ್ ಸಮಟೈಮ್ಸ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಅದ್ವೈತ ಟೀಚರ್ಸ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಪೀಪಲ್ಸ್ ದರ್ ರೈಟ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಚೈಲ್ಡ್ಹುಡ್ ದಟ್ಸ್ ವಾಟ್ ದೇ ಪ್ರಾಕ್ಟೀಸ್. ವೆರಿ ಡಿಫಿಕಲ್ಟ್ ಟು ಅಕ್ಸೆಪ್ಟ್ ಎ ಚೇಂಜ್. ದ ನಾನ್ ಡ್ಯುವಲಿಸ್ಟ್ ಇಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಅಫ್ರೇಡ್ ಆಫ್ ದ್ವೈತಂ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಹೀ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ಬೋತ್ ಲೆವೆಲ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಟ್ರೂತ್, ದಿ ವ್ಯಾವಹಾರಿಕ ರಿಯಾಲಿಟಿ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದಿ ಪಾರಮಾರ್ಥಿಕ ರಿಯಾಲಿಟಿ. ಅದ್ವೈತ ಡಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಕಾಂಟ್ರಡಿಕ್ಟ್ ಎನಿ ಅದರ್ ಟೀಚಿಂಗ್ ಅಟ್ ಆಲ್. ಶ್ಲೋಕ 19. ಮಾಯಯಾ ಭಿದ್ಯತೆ ಹೇತತ್ ನಾನ್ಯತಾಜಂ ಕಥಾಚನ ತತ್ವತೋ ಭಿದ್ಯಮಾನೇಹಿ ಮರ್ತ್ಯತಾಮಮೃತಂ ವ್ರಜೇತ್. ಸೊ ದಿಸ್ ಅನ್ಬಾರ್ನ್ ಆತ್ಮ ದಟ್ ಬಿಕಮ್ಸ್ ಡಿಫರೆನ್ಷಿಯೇಟ್ ಥ್ರೂ ಮಾಯಾ ಓನ್ಲಿ. ಮಾಯಯಾ ಭಿದ್ಯತೆ, ನಾಟ್ ಇನ್ ಎನಿ ಅದರ್ ಮ್ಯಾನರ್. ನಾನ್ಯತೆ ಫಾರ್ ಇಟ್ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ರಿಯಲಿ ಡಿಫರೆನ್ಷಿಯೇಟೆಡ್, ದಿ ಇಮ್ಮಾರ್ಟಲ್ ಆತ್ಮ ವಿಲ್ ಅಂಡರ್ ಗೋ ಮಾರ್ಟಾಲಿಟಿ. ಇಫ್ ಇಟ್ ಇಸ್ ರಿಯಲಿ ಡಿಫರೆನ್ಷಿಯೇಟೆಡ್ ದನ್ ದಟ್ಸ್ ವಾಟ್ ವಿಲ್ ಹ್ಯಾಪನ್. ದಿ ಇಮ್ಮಾರ್ಟಲ್ ಆತ್ಮ ದಟ್ ವಿಲ್ ಗೋ ಅಂಡರ್ ಗೋ ಮಾರ್ಟಾಲಿಟಿ. ಮೆನಿ ಸಿಸ್ಟಮ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ರಿಯಾಲಿಟಿ ಬಿಲೀವ್ ದಟ್ ದರ್ ವಾಸ್ ಒರಿಜಿನಲಿ ಒನ್ ಪರಮಾತ್ಮ, ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಫಾರ್ ಸಮ್ ರೀಸನ್ ದ ಪರಮಾತ್ಮ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ನೌ ಬಿಕಮ್ ದ ಜೀವಾತ್ಮ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಸಂಸಾರಿ. ಸೊ ವಾಟ್ ಶುಡ್ ದ ಜೀವಾತ್ಮ ಡೂ ನೌ? ದ ಜೀವಾತ್ಮ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಟು ಗ್ರ್ಯಾಜುವಲಿ ಗೋ ಟುವರ್ಸ್ ದಿ ಪರಮಾತ್ಮ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಜಾಯಿನ್ ದ ಪರಮಾತ್ಮ. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಗೌಡಪಾದಾರ್ಯ ಹೀ ಸೇಸ್ ದಟ್ ಇಫ್ ದ ಪರಮಾತ್ಮ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಅಂಡರ್ಗೋ ಎ ಚೇಂಜ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಕ್ರಿಯೇಟ್ ಅ ಜೀವಾತ್ಮ, ದ ಜೀವಾತ್ಮ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಕಮ್ ಅವೇ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಪರಮಾತ್ಮ, ದೆನ್ ಪರಮಾತ್ಮ ಈಸ್ ಸಬ್ಜೆಕ್ಟ್ ಟು ಚೇಂಜ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಡಿವಿಷನ್. ಇಫ್ ದ ಪರಮಾತ್ಮ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಚೇಂಜ್ಡ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಡಿವೈಡೆಡ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಜೀವಾತ್ಮಾಸ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಕಮ್, ವೆನ್ ದ ಜೀವಾತ್ಮ ಗೋಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಜಾಯಿನ್ಸ್ ಪರಮಾತ್ಮ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಅಟೈನ್ಸ್ ಮೋಕ್ಷ, ದಿ ಫಾಲೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಕ್ವೆಶ್ಚನ್ಸ್ ವಿಲ್ ಕಮ್ ಅಪ್. ಇಫ್ ದ ಜೀವಾತ್ಮ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಕಮ್ ಅವೇ ಫ್ರಮ್ ದಿ ಪರಮಾತ್ಮ ಒನ್ಸ್, ದೆನ್ ಈವನ್ ಆಫ್ಟರ್ ಜಾಯಿನಿಂಗ್ ಪರಮಾತ್ಮ ಜೀವಾತ್ಮ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಕಮ್ ಅವೇ ಅಗೈನ್. ಸೊ ದಿಸ್ ಮೋಕ್ಷ ಕ್ಯಾನಾಟ್ ಬಿ ಎ ಪರ್ಮನೆಂಟ್ ಮೋಕ್ಷ. ವೇದಾಂತ ಸೇಸ್ ದಟ್ ದ ಜೀವಾತ್ಮ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ನೆವರ್ ಕಮ್ ಅವೇ ಫ್ರಮ್ ದಿ ಪರಮಾತ್ಮ, ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ನೆವರ್ ಬಿಕಮ್ ಸೆಪರೇಟೆಡ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಪರಮಾತ್ಮ, ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ದಿ ಪರಮಾತ್ಮ ಕೆನಾಟ್ ಅಂಡರ್ಗೋ ಎನಿ ಚೇಂಜ್ ಟು ಕ್ರಿಯೇಟ್ ಎ ಡಿವಿಷನ್. ದರ್ಫೋರ್ ದಿಸ್ ಸೆಪರೇಷನ್ ಈಸ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಎ ಸೀಮಿಂಗ್ ಸೆಪರೇಷನ್, ಬಟ್ ಆ್ಯಕ್ಚುಲಿ ಇಟ್ ಡಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾಪನ್ ಅಟ್ ಆಲ್. ಇಫ್ ದ ಸೆಪರೇಷನ್ ಇಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಫ್ಯಾಕ್ಚುವಲ್, ದ ಜೀವಾತ್ಮ ನೀಡ್ ನಾಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟು ಜಾಯಿನ್ ಪರಮಾತ್ಮ ಅಟ್ ಆಲ್, ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಇಟ್ ನಾಟ್ ಫ್ಯಾಕ್ಚುವಲ್. Therefore, moksha is dropping the notion that I am separate from Paramatma. The Paramatma-Jeevatma separation takes place only seemingly due to Maya Shakti, as in a dream. Separation from home and being deserted, you know, somebody dreamt, he is separate from home, deserted somewhere, there is no water, all those examples. Other than that, the actual separation and division can never take place because Brahman is defined in the scriptures as indivisible, just as space does not get divided into inside space and outside space. Suppose Jivatma and Paramatma get separated at Srishti and then doing sadhana, the Jivatma joins Paramatma at some time. This can happen again and again also. In time, everything can happen cyclically. Thus, the separation, union of the Jivatma and Paramatma will go on happening, and there will be no permanent moksha. Further, this would imply that the Paramatma itself would be subject to time, mortality, and all those changes. Maybe I'll finish one more shloka and stop here. Just I'll take 2 minutes. Shloka 20.
Ajatasyaiva bhavasya jatimichanti vadinaha ajato hyamrito bhavaha matyatam katameshyati.
So the people who oppose, the disputants, they wish to ascertain the birth of the unborn reality itself. How can the unborn immortal reality, Paramatma, indeed undergo mortality? So the problem with dualism, pluralism particularly, it treats Brahman as one of the objects in creation. Because we are experiencing various things in creation. And when the Upanishads introduce Brahman, we try to imagine Brahman as another thing or being. In the Shastra itself, initially, the infinite formless Brahman is given a form for meditation. And this leads to the misconception that Brahman is a person in a remote place, based on description given by the Shastras. And there are descriptions that the Jivatma has come away from Brahman like sparks from one fire. These are not factual. Once it is taken as factual that the Paramatma is subject to division, separation, etc., all those things, then the Paramatma is reduced to a finite thing. Various theological and philosophical systems which look upon Paramatma as a person in some other loka, sitting somewhere in Kailasha, Vaikuntha, all those places, they talk about the division of Paramatma into Paramatma and Jivatma coming away at the time of Srishti. How can one undivided Paramatma get divided into many Jivatmas and Jagat? So part space is not an actual division, but only a seeming division, because space is indivisible. Paramatma can never become Jivatma. Then Paramatma can appear as Jivatma. We are none other than Paramatma itself appearing as Jivatma, but we refuse to accept that fact. How can an unborn, deathless and divisionless Paramatma get divided into several Jivatmas? It can never be divided. We'll stop here.
Yo vedadau swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitaha tasya prakritilina sayaparasa maheshwaraha sri krishna arpanamastu narayana.